Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into a mood of worship. How many of you, well, we're down tonight. I don't want everybody afraid to get out. But wonder how many of you remember when the book that we sent out, I passed out on Revelation, what the very first, you be quiet, what the, you've already seen, what the very first page was in that book. What the very first thing it said.
Page one.
Page one. It said, God wins. So whatever happens, God wins. So. But it's all working to his plan. Let's see, I think it was Dan Hill called me and he said, aren't we supposed to watch for the abomination? And for fun, let's open to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly. And that's the key thing, how suddenly things can change in a nation. And who knows the ruin that comes from both of them. Okay, I got two great visitors visiting here tonight. And if it wasn't for them, we'd really be down in attendance. They upped our attendance by about 40%. Years ago, let's see, it would have been around 67. Yeah, I was in Germany, and it was cold, and I hated that. I had to go to the post office. I'm standing in line at the post office. And I'm not just in Germany. I'm not in Frankfurt or Nuremberg. I'm in this little rock. I mean, it's a pitiful place to be assigned. And so I'm standing in line at the post office, and this lady turns around and she says, aren't you Herman Maddox? And I mean, you could have knocked me. I said, well, yeah. She said, we went to high school together. Well, this is her sister. No?
No. You didn't go to high school with her.
Yes, I did with Pam, yeah.
You did, really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
yeah. No, we went to high school. That's what she said. She went to Reagan High School, same time I did.
A lot of people went.
In Houston.
No.
Huh. I wonder where. Yeah, I better find out where I met her. But her sister and your
her friend.
Okay. Well, we sure are glad to have you all here tonight. My goodness, really are.
You went to different schools.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Okay. All right, let's, regardless of what's going on in the nation, one thing is certain, and that is that when we die and then the rapture of the church occurs, and one of the first things that happen will be the heavenly worship of Christ in the air, and then the next thing that will occur is the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer will stand before Jesus Christ. This is not the great white throne, the unbeliever, this is the believer. And every one of us, this will happen. And there are people who doubt their salvation, whether they're saved or not. But not only can we be assured of salvation by faith in Christ, you can be assured of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And this is what is so beautiful. And we're right now looking at the rewards and events at the judgment seat of Christ, and we have come to the honor of the morning star. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now the purpose of this prayer, good evening Judith, the purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in His Spirit. He's got to open our eyes to the truth of these things. And he's the teacher, not me. So let's begin with the word of prayer. What peace we have in our soul, no matter what happens in our nation tonight. What comfort we have, because we know who is in control of all things. Nothing happens out of your control, and we have peace in that. Father, we just turn all these things over to you. We do not get stress, anxiety, depression, all these things. But thou will keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed upon thee. What an awesome God you are, that no matter what happens in history, no matter what happens in our own individual lives, you are in control. And you work all things together for good to those who walk in your spirit and love you. And Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that it gives us so much information, and even dealing with what happens after we die, you do not leave us in the dark. You know our soul. You know how you created us, that we find a contentment in knowing what's going to happen after death. And you've given us all we need to know. And one of those events is the judgment seat of Christ. Pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to gather from this as we look at these awards and the things that are going to happen here, that there'll be an encouragement to us to live each day in the leading and the power of your Spirit, loving as Christ loved. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, this is the honor of the morning star. It's called the honor of the morning star because this is not an award like the crowns that we've been studying. No, we studied the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of joy. But this is not like a crown. This is a position. This is a ruling position, serving, ruling with the Lord. For those who served him during their life on earth in our mortal bodies, we will now serve with him in the millennial kingdom and in the eternal kingdom. Now, I haven't done a whole lot on 1, 2, 3, 4 and all that, but I think the best way to handle this, just so that we can develop our thoughts and go through this, is take some points on it and gather the information. Point one. First, its name. Its name. The title of this position is taken after the name and title of our Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star. Point two. Revelation 2:28 and 22:16, the morning star, or belonging to the morning star. Let's just quickly look at it so we're oriented to what we're dealing with. Let's look at Revelation 2:28. Now, we've worked our way up to verse 28 last week, but I just want to just zero in on the verse. Verse 28. Well, verse 27, well, verse 26 deals with it. And he who overcomes, now this is overcomes, the temptation to run when things are bad, suffering, things are good, distractions, all kinds of things. But he who perseveres, overcomes, who keeps my deeds, and that's going to be very important to Sunday morning in Romans 2, keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give the authority over the nations. So we will rule with him in the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. As I receive authority, I will share or give this authority to those believers who survive to the end during the church age. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, the morning, the aspect of this title, the morning, refers to the beginning of a new day. It's the end of the darkness. It's the end of the period of darkness. Remember, from 24 hours at 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness, 12 hours of darkness, 12 hours for Satan to do his deal, 12 hours for Christ and the light to do his deal. The light and the dark have been played all the way through the Bible, all through history by God's Word. When he sends the light of the world, we're getting ready for Christmas. The Gospel of John doesn't talk about the manger, doesn't talk about the birth, but he has the greatest Christmas story. He's chapter 1, the light coming into the world, takes the Christmas story back to Genesis chapter 1, let there be light. Let there be a way out. Let there be salvation. So, the breaking of the darkness and the light. This is the beginning of a new era. The end of one period and the beginning of another. The end of the reign of Satan and the beginning of the light of Christ and the rule of Christ, and will we rule with him. The star has always been a prophetic reference to the Messiah as to his celestial nature. So that just kind of puts that together for us rather quickly. Point 3. This title is given to Jesus Christ as the first of the morning, which marks the beginning of a new period. I was wondering what you did wrong. Okay. Point 3. This title, Morning Star, is given to Jesus Christ as the first star of the morning, which marks the beginning of a new period in history, a new age, the millennium. Man will not usher in this new period. Only the bright and morning star can do this. Man cannot do this. Only the bright and morning star will usher in this new period. We will not make the millennium occur on earth. If you will, please, let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We're going to read together verses. Well, if everybody just keeps walking out, I won't have anyone here. Okay, Matthew 24, let's read 28 through 31, beginning in verse 28. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation, so we have the rapture of the church, 7 years of tribulation. It's during these 7 years of tribulation that this judgment seat of Christ is going on, plus the marriage and the marriage supper and those things. Tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. Now, we've studied all this in Revelation. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. Now, that's just as they saw him in Acts 1 going up in the clouds. We see him coming in the clouds. Of the sky with power and exuberant glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Okay, now bear that in mind. Now, let's turn to Numbers 24, all the way back in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 24. Numbers 24, verse 17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, a scepter shall rise from Israel, shall crush through the foreheads of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Sheth. Okay, this is the second advent, the coming of Jesus Christ. The scepter will rise out of Israel. This is the second advent, the rule of Jesus Christ. Okay, just following the progression. Let's go to point four. In the brightness, remember it's exuberant light, great light, in the brightness of his glory, Jesus Christ will return to earth. And his coming will mark the end of the period of darkness of the tribulation. And his coming will mark the end of the period of darkness of the tribulation and the brightness of a new age, the age of the millennium. But in his coming, with his coming of this light, will be the end of the period of the darkness of the tribulation. Now, if you will, let's turn to 2 Peter 1. I've been doing some work in 2 Peter, and it's been so long since we've been in 2 Peter. It's a powerful book. 2 Peter 1. Now, there is no prophecy to be fulfilled in the church for the rapture of the church to occur. I know a lot of prophet teachers say, oh, this is prophecy. And no, there are no prophets. The prophecies to be fulfilled in the church age. But circumstances will be in a certain order for things to take place in the church age or in the tribulation. And like one that we've seen, America's just not part of the tribulation. Well, how can that be? We're one of the most powerful nations on earth. Some people say the most. Well, I think we can see how easy it will be for this nation to be taken and made into a third world country. Economically, material, militarily, economically, spiritually, socially, morally. And so, it's be very easy for this to occur. Okay, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention. Now remember, we saw that kind of an exhortation in Revelation chapter 1. Pay attention to the things written in this book. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Dark place is the world. Until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. God the Holy Spirit. So the prophecies that are laid out in Scripture, not the prophecies of man. Prophecies of the tribulation and all that's going to happen, the rapture of the church, the judgment seat of Christ, and when Christ comes and sets up the millennial kingdom and all these things, all these prophecies of the rise of the Roman Empire and all that's going to happen in tribulation, not by man. They're from God. Okay? Any questions 1 through 4? Okay, let's go to point 5. At the beginning of the New Age, or with the beginning of the New Age, will begin the eternal rule of Jesus Christ, will begin the eternal rule of Jesus Christ. First Advent, he came to bear judgment, not to judge. Second Advent, he'll come to judge, and then he will rule. We are to follow him in his first Advent. A lot of Christians like to follow Jesus Christ in his second Advent. They like to judge one another. That's why over and over and over in the New Testament, do not judge one another. Do not judge. Do not judge. Yet this is the favorite pastime of most Christians, to judge one another. Judge others. Judge others. Judge self. Judge God. Favorite pastime of many Christians and religious people. They love to judge. We do not follow Christ in his first, in his second Advent. Follow him in his first, and he came to be judged and to restore and save. This is what we're to do, and that's why we're commanded to love as he loved, not judge as he judged. So, the beginning of the new age will begin the eternal rule of Jesus Christ. He will rule as a new, bright, and morning star, referring to the new age, the new epic of human history. In the millennium, there will be human beings just as we are. Now, all unbelievers will be removed from the earth at the second advent. At the rapture, all believers are removed, leaving only unbelievers for that 7-year period. So here we have God becoming man, the cross, the church age, and then we have the rapture of the church. We have 7 years, and we studied why 7 years promised to Israel in the Old Testament, and then Christ will come. Now, with this one, all believers are removed from the earth. That's why immediately you have the great revival and the great witness of the Jews. 144,000 from each tribe. Okay. Now, with the second advent, the return of Jesus Christ, going to have the removal of all unbelievers. So everyone that was saved during this period will go into the millennial rule with Jesus Christ. Okay. So, this is what we're talking about, beginning of this new age, and begins his eternal rule. Okay, point six. And he will share his rule of the whole world. There'll be nations. God always uses nations. So, even in the millennium, there will be nations. That's why I believe in eternity future there will be nations. Activity. But there will be nations all over the world, just like we have now. And believers will be stationed ruling with Christ over these nations. So, point six, he will share his rule with those believers of the church who demonstrated that while they were here on earth with a body with a sin nature, that they could still rule their life here on earth to live in the Spirit, to love as Christ loved, and therefore to these who could rule their own life, he will have them rule with him in the millennium. This is the highest honor. I want to say one thing very quickly. We study the crowns. We're studying this honor. Some people have problems with rewards in heaven. Well, that means people won't have them. Yeah, that's exactly correct. There's inequality in heaven. But I want to remind you, if you can understand how right now with this flesh body, with a sin nature, and all that, when you and I are in the Spirit, and another believer is blessed by God in some way, maybe in business or in life or family, so whatever it is, and it doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother us at all. So this will be the way it will be in heaven. Yeah, there'll be inequality, but it won't bother anyone. It won't be, oh man, look, he's and I'm not. No, it won't be any of that. It's just like right now. If what spiritual love does for us, spiritual love does not brag. Spiritual love is not jealous. So when we're filled with the Spirit, we're not jealous. When God blesses someone, see, spiritual love makes us strong. Spiritual love allows God to bless others without it interfering with our spiritual life. Spiritual love allows God to bless us without us intruding on other people's lives. It's how powerful what God gave us, spiritual love, through the filling of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. So, if we can just get a glimpse of that, well, yeah, I, I'm not worried or concerned. God bless this person or that person, husband, wife, success in business, or whatever it may be, spiritually. Some churches have thousands of people in it, and I'm not, it doesn't bother me what other pastors have. So if we can see just that little glimpse now in our flesh, just magnify that in our resurrected body without a sin nature, and it won't bother us at all. But this will be the highest honor. All authority was given by God the Father. See, God the Father had all authority. He gave the authority. So God the Father here has all authority to judge and to rule. He gave that to His Son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ went to the cross and paved the way of reconciling the world to Him. Now His Son, in turn, shares this with those believers who, while on earth, lived their life for Christ. And they were able, what we're saying is they were able to rule their own lives, so the reward is that they will be ruling with Him. So all authority given by God the Father to His Son, as a great honor, to His Son, and now Jesus Christ is going to share that honor with both believers who made Him the center of their life. So He's going to share it with them. And every one of you can be sure, this is a powerful statement, people, but I mean it. Every one of you can be sure of sharing this. And all we have to do is to govern our daily lives, to walk in the Spirit and rule our life as unto Christ. And that isn't even us doing it. Our part is what? What's our part? Faith. Simple faith in the Spirit. Then the faith, the Spirit does it. So our part is just faith. We don't have to work at being moral or being good or doing this or doing that. Da 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 da. No, our decision is, am I going to trust the Spirit of God? Once we do that, He takes over. He guides. He leads. He gives us strength, wisdom, all these things. So it's not even us doing it. And we're going to get this great reward. So if you can govern your own life in the glory of Jesus Christ while on earth with a sin nature, then you will be given the honor of ruling with Jesus Christ in the new age, the new epic. Jesus Christ will give you a place of ruling authority. You will reign with Christ in the millennium and in the new heavens and the new earth. On this earth, you have authority over your own life. Even in slavery. Talked to another pastor today on the phone. Well, we're going to have to learn how to live in socialism. Well, people, that's very simple. It's very, very simple. It doesn't matter if, and I'm going to say this Sunday morning, if things go how I think they're going to go tonight. If you've been putting your confidence in a system or in America, a free system, you've had your confidence in the wrong thing. Cursed is man who trusteth in man, and that means institutions of man. It's like after 9/11, I had many friends say, well, I'm not going to fly, I don't want to fly, and all that. Well, if you've had your confidence in the pilots and the planes and the safety and all that, your confidence was in the wrong thing. Our confidence is never in the things of man, but in God. And look with me just for a moment, show you something. Look at Galatians chapter 5. I think if America's going in the direction that I think it's got to go for the rapture to occur and all these things and what's happening in our culture, let me see if this phrase takes a different nuance with you. If you've had your confidence in a free, laissez-faire, capitalistic America, and this is changing morally, spiritually, judicially, education-wise, all these things, see how this works with you. Verse 22 of Galatians 5 is so important. So important. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. This isn't love that comes from us. This is a love that comes from the Holy Spirit. Joy, inner happiness. Peace, inner peace. Now you take those three and you've taken care of stress, anxiety, and depression. Sad. Patience. Macrothumia. kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And as important as love is, the one that I needed the most and need the most from the Spirit, self-control. And now look at the last phrase. Against such things, there is no law. It doesn't matter if you're a slave. There's no law against walking in the power of the Spirit. There's no law keeping us from joy, peace, all these things that we have in Christ. I don't care if it's socialism, capitalism, communism, fascism. It doesn't matter what kind of ism. There is no law against walking in the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit. And so we can always have this. And that's a very important phrase, against this, such things. There is no law. So, on this earth, you have authority over your own life. I don't care what the conditions are, slavery, whatever. Man enslaved to his wife, wife enslaved to her husband, all these things. You can still walk by the power of the Spirit. Over what was valuable to you in life, demonstrated that you were able to hold on to what you have in Christ, and you will be given the honor of the morning star. But see, that's difficult, because the flesh wants the things of the world. The flesh, it runs away and backs off because of suffering, because of adversity, because of all these things, cause so many believers who start the good fight, and then after a while, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, holding on to those things we have, as it was in our passage, and we can't even hold on to things we have in America. Husbands and wives can't hold on to their marriages, can't hold on to their home, can't hold on to their children, can't hold on to their family, can't hold on to the... We can't even hold on to things in the physical realm, not to mention the spiritual. A person who can hold on to those things in the spiritual realm, no matter what happens. Prosperity, distraction, suffering causes us to faint. But if you hold on, you have this great honor of the morning star. Point 7. Receiving the honor of the morning star is the highest honor given to a believer of the church age. Now, why is this true? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons. One, because it is based on the fact that you demonstrated that you were able to rule your own life on earth under the handicap of a sin nature. Under the rule of the satanic influence, rule of the world. So in spite of the world, your own flesh nature, and satanic cosmic system, you were able to rule your own life. So you were able to govern your life so that you held on to what you have in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're answering point 7. Why is this such a high honor? Secondly, this is the highest honor because it involves function, activity, service. Serving Jesus Christ in the new order. See, the others are crowns that you wear. And after a while, you just get tired of looking in the mirror with all your crowns on. There's just nothing about that. This is activity. This is activity. This is service. Function. Serving the Lord in the new order. It is given as recognition of the noblest glorification of Christ while you were here on earth. Not talking about how you went around saying, oh, praise Jesus and all that kind of garbage. It's not any of that. It's that you lived your life centered around Christ. You didn't blow your own trumpet. You didn't do all that stuff, all that hokey stuff. You just lived your life glorifying Him. In your home, your fun, your enjoyment. I've often said that the people that should have the most enjoyment on planet Earth are born-again believers. Because if we have things, we can enjoy them. If we don't have them, we go unhappy. All the way through, you held on to what you had in Jesus Christ. So it's the recognition of the noblest glorification of Christ while you were here on earth. You governed your life to glorify Christ in the Spirit-filled life, not in serving self-interest. So now Jesus Christ honors you. His Father honored Him because He went to the cross, bearing the judgment and sins of the world. He takes after His Father. He honors us. And then the third reason, because you get to rule along with Jesus Christ. So what's the greatest honor? You get to rule along with Jesus Christ. Remember, in eternity future, please remember this. God the Father is omnipresent, God the Son is omnipresent, God the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. But the humanity of Jesus Christ in His resurrected body can only be at one place at one time. It's not going to be all over heaven. So we will be ruling with Him on this earth during the millennium and the new heavens and the new earth. So you'll serve along with Jesus Christ. And serving Him now is important. Serving Him in eternity will be equally important. You served Him on your life on earth. You followed Him while you were here. And now you get to rule alongside Him and serve Him in eternity. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's go to point eight. Passages that relate to our ruling with Christ. So let's start off with Romans. Start off with Romans. Yeah, all of these are in the New Testament. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one. Adam passed down the sin nature all the way down through history. That's why Christ was born of the Virgin. He did not take up the sin nature passed on by man. Death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace, and we receive that by faith in Jesus Christ, and of the gift of righteousness, not earned. You do not make yourself righteous. You do not work for righteousness. Not by good works. It is a gift. The gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now let's go Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and let's come to 2 Philippians, Colossians, and let's come to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 2:12. I've learned I'm always a little leery because I don't take the time to check all of these, and sometimes a computer doesn't put what I want it to put. If it's the wrong verse, I have to read quickly, see if that happens. Okay, and this one does. 2 Timothy 2:12. Well, let's look at verse 11. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with Him, and it's verse class, since we died with Him, when you believed in Christ, you're buried with Christ, we shall also live with Him, raised in new life. If we endure, that's in our lives, we shall also reign with Him. Now, all believers are saved. This doesn't have any idea of taking away your salvation. The enduring has to do with those believers who through their life live their Christian life, ruling it in a Christ-centered life. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Not every believer will reign with Him. It's those that endure. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Now that's been taken to a lot of people. He will deny you salvation. No. Somebody comes along, I don't believe in Jesus. I did, but I don't anymore. No. This is denying Him the reward. Stay with your context. Don't, since false doctrines, Bill, taking things out of context. And that, in fact, in Timothy goes on and says, Christ cannot deny His own. To clarify, anybody would get that mistake. All right, let's look back at Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Back toward beginning of the New Testament. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. Okay, we'll begin in verse 12. Luke 19:12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of the slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. This, of course, is Jesus Christ. It's the religious world. It doesn't want him. And it came about that when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him in order that they might know what business he might know what business they had done. And the first appeared, saying, Master, your mina has made 10 mina more. So he made 10 mina more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, 10 mina, a very little thing, be in authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, your mina, master, had made 5 mina. And he said to him also, and you are to be over 5 cities. And another came, saying, master, behold your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. I buried it. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. And people, that's the way a lot of Christians and religious people think of God. Religious people, you got to fear him. He's going to get you. If you sin, he's going to get you. If you don't do this, he's going to get you. That's a lot of people's view of God. It's not the biblical view, but it's a view a lot of people have. It's this view. It comes from our flesh nature. I was afraid of you because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down. And when did he ever do that? And reap what you did not sow. He said to him, by your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you not know that I am an exacting man? Taking up what I did not lay down, reaping what I did not sow, then why did you not put the money in the bank, and having come, I would have collected it, at least the interest with it? You didn't even do anything with it. You did nothing with all that God gave you. People, God has given us so many wonderful things. All those things we study that you receive from the moment you believe in Christ as Savior. We want to hold on to those things. Those are precious things. The indwelling of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, all the things that we've been studying, these are things that you have been given. Do you hoard them, or do you enjoy them? See, this is, and then the idea here is that in God's plan, the rich get richer. That's God's plan. And it's a wonderful plan in the way that God has laid all of this out. Now, let's look at, finally, at Revelation 3:21. Revelation 3:21. He who overcomes. Now, what is he overcoming now? Overcoming suffering, adversity to living your life in Christ, coming to Bible class, making these things, all that, overcoming at prosperity. Oh, well, I could go do this, and I'm saved, and I don't need to worry about it. Overcoming. I will remember that's only by faith in the Spirit. The Spirit's really the one that overcomes. I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Okay, we have time for point nine. By all indication, there are several honors that accompany the morning star. Now, be careful how I worded that. I didn't say they do. By all indications, there seems to be several honors that accompany the morning star. The first is dress. The garment you will wear. The dress or the uniform of those who rule. First, because you're a believer, you already have a resurrected body. You already have a resurrected body, exactly like our Lord's resurrected body, except for the scars. This body is a translucent uniform of glory. This dress that you have with the morning star is a translucent uniform that you will wear over the resurrected body. Jesus Christ himself appeared in this royal dress at the Mount of Transfiguration. This royal clothing at the Mount of Transfiguration when he descended and went into heaven. Scripture does not specifically identify the mountain, but tradition connects it with Mount Tabor. But I doubt this since he was in the area of Caesarea Philippi, so probably this was one of the Mount Hermon ranges. Transfiguration comes from the Greek to change. To change into another form. And this is very important. For those of you who desire to rule with Jesus Christ under the morning star, this is what you will wear as you rule with Jesus Christ. That's why I'm taking this time for this study. Give an idea of what God has in store. I'm trying to do is to motivate you to govern your life for Christ. To hold on to the things that you have in Christ, to walk by faith in the power of the Spirit. Transfiguration means to change another form. Jesus Christ, while praying, was transformed, transfigured in the presence of Peter, James, and John. He changed into his royal apparel that he will wear when he rules, when he comes back and rules in the millennium and for eternity. The honor of the morning star will wear this uniform. When Jesus Christ appeared on this mountain, he was accompanied by Moses and Elijah. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 17. The whole book of Revelation takes us through all, so much of the Bible, starting with Job. All right, Matthew 17, and we're just going to read 1 through 8. Matthew 17, 1 through 8. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up to the high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. There's that beckoning to listen. Listen, listen. But they would not listen. Listen, but they would not listen. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them, touched them, and said, Arise and do not be afraid. If I don't have time to cover this whole verse, but what he's saying is, Peter, don't build those things. That period's over. They're not all that kind of stuff in the church age. So he stopped Peter from building the three monuments and all of that that he wanted to do. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. So this uniform is translucent light, which covers the resurrected body. It is given as the highest honor to those who serve with him. Now, for this documentation, you will wear this clothing of honor. Ah, let's look at Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Revelation 3, 4 and 5. Revelation 3, 4 and 5. But you have a few people in Sardis, so this is the church of Sardis, who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. This is the translucent. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garment, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. This brings angels into this whole spiritual warfare. Okay, this will be a breaking point. I want to take a look at Sardis and see what we can learn about the judgment seat of Christ in this next Tuesday evening. So we'll begin here. Any questions on the honor of the morning star yet? Okay. I know there's got to be, but we'll let it go at that. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the assurance of eternal life. We don't need to worry one bit about death. Therefore, we can enjoy life, not holding on to anything here, but enjoying each day, regardless of what happens. Our happiness is not of this world. So what happens in this world does not bring us stress, anxiety, and depression if we keep our minds set on Thee. We look with great anticipation, Father, for the eternal future, repeating with Paul the words, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Gain. And not only that, Father, you've now given us information about the various events that will occur after death, occur after the rapture, occur when Christ returns, occur in eternity future. What an awesome God you are. How tender is your care of us. that you know, because you created this way, that we need to know these things to have calmness in our soul, and you met that need. You let us know these things. How wonderful. And therefore, Father, why should we doubt? Why should we fear? You've taken care of everything. Father, pray you take the things we've seen tonight, let them work as an encouragement in our souls to love as Christ loved. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.